listeners, you're welcome to another episode of The Barman's Barbecue. Here we examine sacred cows. We roast them and serve them as it is hot.
Today we're talking about a topic that has been trending and somewhat controversial or whatever. We're talking about prophecy.
Okay.
Here's my question about prophecy. Anyway, is this set in stone, or is like when someone gives you a prophecy, is it set in stone, or is it liable to change, or is it this might happen if you let it, or this will happen, or this is going to happen because you guys let it? Trying to thought I'm saying.
Okay, maybe not. But yeah, I'll just.
Is prophecy set in stone, or is it liable to change based on our actions?
Okay, so I think there's what they call foretelling, right? It's an aspect of prophecy that is foretelling the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's an aspect of prophecy that is foretelling the future, like you are saying what will happen. It's not as if God said anything. Right, I just like a meditation or confession. I'm speaking the future.
Okay.
So that's foretelling. But however, I feel like the Bible says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So true prophecy is not about, it's not soothsaying, right? Speaking into the future and telling us what will be. But true prophecy is the revelation of Jesus Christ. I know it's somewhat disappointing, right? You'll be expecting prophecy to be like will Nigeria still be together in 2050, right? Or will Trump lose the election? Or will, you know, so, but what is prophecy? So prophecy is not, I don't see prophecy as first, like God has a crystal ball that he looks at in the future. So I don't think, and again, so of course, we have a lot of biblical examples that seem to say that prophecy is not cast in stone. Like we see when Ezekiah got a prophecy from Isaiah that he was going to die.
Yeah.
Then Ezekiah turned and prayed.
Okay.
And when he prayed, God sent the same prophet Isaiah back to Ezekiah that because he has humbled himself, he's going to live for 15 more years. Right, so many times prophecy is somewhat conditional, that if you repent, this thing will not happen. If you do this, this is what's going to be the outcome. Right, so like prophecy for in organizations, right? So when you have like data analytics, so we can study the spending habits of a particular company. And so based on that, we can now make projections. That based on this stuff you're doing, this is going to be the outcome. This company is going to fold in 2 years, or your stock is going to rise. So people who have prophetic insights in organizations, so organizations somewhat have prophets, right? So the prophets of many organizations are those guys who are trained to be able to study trends, study, you know, policies, world events, and predict future possibilities.
I want to learn how to do that stuff, man.
Yeah, so predict that the future, this is going to happen. So buy, for instance, buy XYZ stock
because
of in 2021 XYZ is going to be worth this. So in a sense, those guys are prophets. So but it may not come to pass because of the impute data they used in coming to that conclusion may change. Let's say when that prediction was made, it was not factored that you will shift from a very democratic regime to a so even though it's democracy, but there is it's kind of like a dictator.
The dynamism of the human spirit.
And stuff will change. So in that sense, that prophecy or that prediction, right, it's not necessarily cast in stone.
So my next question is that, how do you know the difference? I guess what he's saying, his professor, I'm like, how can you tell when something is like, how do I put it now? I can know those people that come and tell somebody that, yeah, my wife, or something like that. if it was a dream, it's easy for me to understand, because there's a part of the Bible that says it's your thoughts that concern. So how do you tell when this is not a prophecy, or God, this, like, I don't know what that says, but it's not a prophecy. So how do you know the difference between prophecy and just something that your mind, like, do you understand?
Okay. So like I said, the good thing is that it's testimony of Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy. So true prophecy should, like, reveal the Christ, or should line up with the essence and the person of Jesus Christ, right? Which is, again, that manifestation of love and grace and goodwill toward men. So for instance, now, again, let's just back up a bit. You know, most of the Old Testament, when the prophet comes to prophesy, the prophet is not just coming to say that you're going to die, thunder is going to fire you because of God is angry with you. No. Many times the prophet will prophesy based on the law.
Okay.
Right. So most of the Old Testament prophets were prophesying based on the law, I think. Right. So the you guys will, because of you have failed to observe the Sabbath, you'll be taken captives by, let's say, Babylon for 70 years so that the land will have forceful Sabbath. Why? In the law, you are supposed to observe the Sabbath. If you neglect observing the Sabbath, then a nation will come, take you away, so that the land...
The land lie with the...
The condition or the law.
Okay.
So even the book of Revelation, now, this is a very, very interesting part. In the book of Revelation, Revelation is written like the book of Deuteronomy.
How so?
Uh-huh. Right. So the point. There's the structure to Revelation. Right. So first, the introduction of the king. Right. So, how many of the Old Testament vassal treaties were? Is that so? King Dubams and King Bela, right?
Yes, honey.
They come to enter into a covenant, right? And so the first part of the covenant will now talk about the history of this great king. Oh, King Dubams, you know, is this, that. And he now, like, you know, comes to enter into a covenant agreement with Bela, right? So the first part is the introduction. And then they also talk about the history, how they came about to that point of making... that's entering into that covenant. Then the next part is that if you are faithful to the covenant, this is the benefit of this covenant relationship. Right? If you are unfaithful to the covenant, these are the causes that will follow you. Right? So first, there is the introduction, and the history of both parties. Then the requirements, that your obligations, like what's required of me, like in this covenant. Then what will happen if you do not obey the covenant? And the last part is that is the blessing and the curses.
Yeah.
Then the very last part is like succession. If one party dies, how do we, you know, continue?
So keeping the contract.
So that's how many Old Testament covenants were formed. And so both copies of the covenants. So we'll make two copies. One copy you take to your shrine. The next copy I'm going to take to my shrine. So, they didn't have like a court of law.
Yeah.
So, if you break the covenant, my God will enforce the curses.
Yeah.
And if you break the covenant, if I break the covenant, your God will enforce. Yeah. So, that's why they take the covenant document and put it into the ark. So, the ark is not just peculiar to Israel. So the nations around had their own acts too, right? So, but today, right, we make two copies of our covenant document. I have one in my office. You have one in your office. Yeah, if you break the married covenant,
you lose
like $500 billion.
You know?
You know, so that's kind of like... So the job of the prophet is now like the lawyer. Who now comes to say that you have broken the terms of the covenant, and but now the person that you have, like the great king, is merciful. If you repent, the bad things in this covenant will not happen to you.
Yeah, based on our
But because I am merciful,
testament.
I will. Yeah, so yeah. That's kind of like how the old and even the book of Revelation and most of it follows that format, right? So most of the prophecies in the Bible are of like when the children of Israel break the covenant, Elijah shows up and says that it's not going to rain. There's going to be drought. So it's not saying because of he's an innovator that, you know, drought or famine is a suitable punishment for these stiff-necked people.
Mm.
But it's just like it's the covenant that he's playing out, and he's coming to tell them that this is going to be based on the covenant. Not just because of that, he just wants to be like a wicked guy.
Oh, okay.
Right, so it's kind of like a law, the law system that is.
Then, is there a place in the prophecy or command that you let go? Like if someone gives you a prophecy that has a point in your life, forget to wear orange wrapper. And then you reach that part that you want the orange wrapper, and maybe it's okay, it was just supposed to be for a period. Now you are meant to move on from that orange wrapper to somewhere else. Like, do you understand? Like, is there a point in prophecy where it's just supposed to happen within a time range?
Okay.
And after that, some people like taking prophecy and learning along with it, even when.
Yeah. So, but I think for this prophecy thing, yeah. So now, the context I give, right? It's surrounding the Old Testament, right? And how the law was. And to today, we may also go into covenants. We go into covenants in marriages. We go into covenants in businesses, right? So, but now, so what about God? What covenant is God doing with us today?
That's true.
Right, so is God still doing with us a covenant of blessing and curses
for some people?
For you know, so
there wants to be another covenant. People not try you.
You know, so like, oh, what kind of scripture says that it's a new covenant that God is, and you know, some scholars have said that the covenant is not between us and God; it's between the Father and the Son. And we are sleeping parties.
You know, I'm just here to relax and be taken care of.
Yeah, so we are enjoying that covenant, right? Mm. And the covenant between, again, the Father and the Son is that, so who is Jesus? Jesus is the Father's Son.
Yeah.
Is the one anointed in the Holy Spirit, and is the one in whom and by whom all things consist. Jesus is the Father's eternal Son. Is the one anointed in the Holy Spirit and is the creator and sustainer of the universe, the one who everything is summed up in. Point is that, so if Jesus is having a covenant with his Father, a covenant of peace and mercy and forgiveness,
See,
this new covenant is a covenant of forgiveness. But now, the covenant that God is making, he's making a covenant with the creator, sustainer, and the substance of all creation.
Okay.
So, Jesus is entering into covenant with, I mean, God the Father has entered into a covenant with everybody. We are all in Christ. So we are all beneficiaries of God's mercy.
Okay.
Right? So it's not our Lord Jesus, I receive you into my life, that now makes us a beneficiary of this covenant. No. Right,
yeah.
So we are sleeping parties.
Mm-hmm.
So every single person is a beneficiary of this covenant. So this covenant, God is not coming to pour his wrath on people who do not accept his love or mercy. That this love now by force.
Yeah.
If you don't love me, I'm going to kill you.
I'm going to burn.
Yeah. So, but it's a covenant of grace and forgiveness. But however, our choices have consequences. Right, so if we make choices to hurt ourselves, the covenant is that you are forgiven, and God is with you, even in your hurt. So the damage that you bring upon yourself, and the damage that others bring upon you,
it's not from God, and it doesn't negate
His love for you.
Yeah, right.
So even when you you decide to take you get overdose, right? Or you put weed in your cake and eat, and you are knocked out, right? It has nothing to do with the covenant of God's covenant of mercy and forgiveness. Yeah.
You're still forgiven.
You are still forgiven and loved.
Even in your state of being knocked out.
Yeah, so you are knocked
out. Your hangover.
But God is with you. That's not saying that God approves of what you are doing. Just like which father will approve of a child who is hurting himself.
Mm.
But which father will now say that because of your, which good father will then say that because of you have hurt yourself, I'm going to put this iron inside. I will heat up this iron and flog you with the iron.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To teach you never to try this rubbish again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, now we are talking about prophecy. Right? So now, so for a lot of people, right? So we see lots of prophecies and most of the biblical prophecies. right? We've talked about, if you don't listen to the podcast, we talked about how Jesus didn't lie, he came soon.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Right, so it's important to check that out. Yeah, because of like right now, there are a lot of speculations about who is the Antichrist. Yeah.
Does this also mean that a prophecy can be misinterpreted?
What do you mean by that?
Like, or something can be misinterpreted to mean a prophecy?
Yeah, of course. Now, so anything that's not revealing Jesus Christ is not the true spirit of prophecy. Right, the prophecy is not revealing Antichrist. All the prophets of old spoke is the spirit of Christ that testified of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that will follow. Right, so but now you can be telling people you are sharing a prophecy, right? And your prophecy is not telling people of the suffering of the Christ in them and the glory that will follow. Right, so any prophecy that kind of makes light, right, of the Christos, or that is not centered on the Christ, I feel like it's kind of like a false prophecy. So if it's a prophecy that, you know, advances our ego, or that loses sight of the kingdom, and I mean the true kingdom, not our perception of the kingdom.
Okay.
Because, okay, for instance, now let's talk about let's say America, for instance. Now, so yeah, so for instance, now like a lot of people are very let's say pro-life, right? Yeah. So for pro-life is they mean that anti-abortion, right?
Yeah.
And pro-choice is that men leave people to do what they want
to their bodies.
So, but then, whether you say pro-life or pro-choice, so you claim you are pro-life, but you don't take the Sermon on the Mount seriously.
What do you mean?
How do you treat your neighbors?
Oh, okay.
Turn the other cheek. So the Americans that are pro-life, are they pro-turn the other cheek?
Nah, man.
You know, how is it that we have like the highest American budget is on security?
Okay.
I mean, yeah, so there's like a big portion of the American budget is on security. How does America treat refugees?
Yeah.
How are the refugee camps? I heard that like President Trump maybe separates, you know, parents, I mean, from their children.
Yeah, kids, yeah.
Right, I mean, I said from, yeah. So, are they still pro-life?
How they treat people of color, things like that.
Yes, yeah, so yeah. Are you still pro-life? So, you are pro-life just because of, like, maybe you feel...
because they're fighting for babies.
Babies, they're fighting for babies. But what about adults? They don't fight for adults. Okay, perhaps adults, okay, I get it. Adults have passed the age of accountability. So once they are past 12, you know, so the point is that, you know, true prophecy is sticking to Jesus, right? Yeah. And Jesus is the one who lays down his life for his friends. Right, and so the prophet comes to tell people that if you do not live a life of mercy, if you don't live a life of judgment and justice, right? So the prophet can say that the prophet basically calls you to repent, to return, and to keep your eyes on the Christ who laid down his life for you, so that you lay down your life for others. But your inability to lay down your life for others, your thirst for self-preservation, your fear of death, right, leads you to oppressing your neighbor, right? So the prophet may now come and say, because of you have oppressed your neighbor, the consequence of your action. So the prophet is just like the business analyst who looks at your finances, who looks at market trends and the patterns. Will now say that this thing will happen to you in your future unless this that happens. So similarly, a prophet today, right, may come and say, if America does not, or if Nigeria does not repent, or if your company does not change its ways to, if you don't pay worker salaries on time, if you don't treat your cleaners right, right, if you still dishonor and look down on the least in society, very soon these people will take up arms and you will not be able to drive without using escorts in this same society. Repent. Right, so true prophecy is not soothsaying, looking for what will happen in the future, right? Like as if God has a crystal ball. Rather, true prophecy is Christ. You have to be aligned to Christ, aligned with Christ. You have to repent. So as you repent, right, your manifestation or your experience will align to the truth that it will be on earth as it is in heaven, right, when you repent. But if you choose to be opposed to goodness, if you choose to be opposed to love, then death and destruction, right?
It's what prophecy should, after he says all this, it should be pointing to
Christ, which is like, again, loving your neighbor, showing mercy, you know, kindness.
The love walk.
It's the love walk. That's true prophecy. True prophecy is not like we having an agenda to maybe save the world, as if Jesus did not save the world. True prophecy is not driving people towards the rapture, as if we don't get raptured every day in God's love. True prophecy is not like, let's preach the gospel quickly so that Jesus will come. Right, that's what prophecy.
Now you're entering on that topic. Yeah. That's like,
so, true prophecy is basically loving your neighbor. And so the purpose of your evangelism is to love, because of you love people, not to maybe colonize them.
Not to multi-level.
And not multi-level marketing.
And to tick your list.
Yeah, to tick your list that, you know,
I want to talk today.
Yeah,
all right.
So that's, I don't know if we touched all that we could on prophecy, but yeah, there are lots of books on prophecy.
And if you have more questions, please bombard Dubambo on all his social media. What are your social media handles anyway?
At Dubambo on Twitter, at Dubambo
on IG. All right. Thank you for joining us today. Bye.
Bye. Alright, I hope you enjoyed today's barbecue. For your questions, send a DM on Instagram or Twitter at Dubams, @DUBAMS. See you next time. Bye now.